This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. A racist incident occurred during a February 2nd basketball game between Elder and St. Xavier that's led to a week of apologies and reflection at Elder. And joining us to discuss the incident and the response are Elder High School Principal Kurt Ruffing. Kurt, good afternoon. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Cincinnati Inquirer columnist and editorial board member Byron McCauley. Byron, thank you.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Cincinnati Public School Board member Mike Morosky. Mike, good afternoon.
Good to see you.
And Jewish Community Relations Council Director Jackie Conjado. Jackie, good to see you this afternoon.
Thanks, Mark, for having us.
You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Kurt, tell us about what happened to that game. This was February 2nd against St. Xavier. What went on?
Correct. It was a typical GCL game with St. Xavier and Elder at Elder. And, you know, the typical jeering going back and forth between the two schools, and then the Elder guys just took it a little too far. They stepped over that line.
And they stepped over, how far over the line did they step?
What do you
mean? Well, I mean, how bad did this get?
It got to the point where they were, you know, cheering chants that were just inappropriate and directed, and more importantly, directed at individuals that should never have happened.
So how many students were involved in this?
We had a cheering section. I wasn't there, but it was a cheering section of about maybe 150, 180 students. And, you know, if you've ever been in the field house with a basketball game like that, it gets very noisy. It's crowded, and, you know, a cheer would start, and then our staff who were there would stop it, then another one start and stop.
So it was hard to tell exactly how many students were involved, but have any students been disciplined so far?
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
How many, sir?
We don't disclose that. That becomes a personal issue.
Okay. And likewise, would you disclose how they were disciplined?
Correct. No, we will not. That stays a personal issue and inside Elder High School.
Have you taken any steps to make sure like something like this doesn't happen again?
We have. And that's, you know, something that my administrative team, that we started looking at. And, you know, right now, a lot of my time has been replying to emails and phone calls because I feel like I owe it to everyone who has contacted us. And so, like I said, a lot of the time has been dealt with that. But I already have some things in place. You know, there are more immediate actions that we have to take care of, and then long term. So the more immediate would be, how are we going to deal with the basketball game coming up this weekend? And the more long term will be, how can we grow as a school? And the students, the faculty, the staff, our alums, our parents, and maybe even into the community, you know, the worldwide community, the city of Cincinnati. I want to be a leader. And I think Elder's a good position. You know, we've been there for 95 years. We have a good core. We teach good Catholic values, and I want the public to see that.
What kind of reaction have you gotten from the community and from the Elder alumni?
It's been widespread. You know, I've gotten emails and phone calls, letters from Elder people and people who aren't associated with Elder. And it's gone both directions. But again, my focus is not what happened in the past. We need to learn from it. It was wrong. But we need to move forward. And what can we do to become a better school? And, you know, the people here sitting with me right now, those are the kind of people that I'd like to reach out to and help us become a better school.
Yeah, Mike, what your thoughts on what happened at Elder?
So I wrote an op-ed in the Cincinnati Inquirer in response to Paul Daugherty, who claimed that we as a society are better than this, quote, better than this. And my response to Mr. Daugherty was, no, I don't believe that we are. And while I don't think that's okay, I do think it's okay to admit it, because the only way we're going to get better is if we can admit that we have a culture of tacit racism, not only in Cincinnati, not only in the GCL schools, not in other public school districts or Archdiocese, it's all over the place. I don't believe this is not isolated to Elder. I'd like to commend Principal Ruffin for how he's handled this. I know it's not an easy job. I have a lot of friends at Elder. I know this isn't the culture at Elder. It happened at Elder, and we're talking about it. But I think now that we're talking about it, we need to have the courage to admit this is a problem everywhere. I was at school for 10 years as a teacher, And I heard really nasty stuff at the student section, which is why I stopped moderating basketball games, because I didn't see a lot happen. Again, to Principal Ruffin's credit, something has happened, and we're having this conversation, and I think it's an important one to have.
Mm-hmm. Jackie.
Yeah, I think it's important also to recognize, and it would be a disservice not to recognize, that while the behavior of the students has to be taken seriously, as it sounds like you are, this is a symptom of something I believe that's a much greater problem, as Mike was referencing. And I think we owe it to ourselves to be intentional about empathy, to be intentional about teaching empathy, to be intentional about proximity, meaning, you know, these things don't happen as much when we have diverse communities talking to each other, when we understand each other, when we know each other's stories. And, you know, I think that we can't just assume that's happening. We have to intentionally be part of providing that in schools and in our communities. And, you know, I'm proud to say, as the director of the Jewish Community Relations Council, that we are engaged in an effort that's taking place across the city. It's going to be, well, so far we have 19 organizing partners, groups from the Jewish Community Relations Council, the Center for Holocaust Humanity Education, Holocaust Humanity Center, newly labeled, the Holocaust Humanity Center, newly named, and the Islamic Center, African-American groups in the city, groups that represent refugees in the city, groups that represent, you know, the Hispanic Chamber, groups that represent people with disabilities. We have come together, 19 of us, to form the Greater Cincinnati Coalition Against Hate. And this will be an opportunity for us to really come at these sorts of incidents from a community standpoint. With a community response, we're going to be debuting that coalition at the YWCA's event on Fountain Square on April 27th. And we look forward to being proactive in this space, so that not only are we just responding, as we're all sitting around this table doing, but so that we are providing, what are we doing proactively to resource principals, teachers, schools, and to make sure that we're engaged in conversations about empathy and about diversity and about celebrating diversity before we get here. Because look at what happens in a vacuum.
Yeah. Byron.
Yeah, absolutely. So Jackie, the things that Jackie just pointed out, I think are spot on. We need that kind of engagement in our town. I get around a good bit. I get a lot of emails and phone calls and that kind of thing. And I would say, you know, it's probably 50-50 when people are contacting you. You see a portion of people who might be considered racist, but you also see a portion of people who are truly integrationists, who are truly want to see our community move forward together. And if you shine a light on, you know, darkness, things get better, right? And so when you talked about Jackie, on how we must get to know each other and how we, you know, if we in a diverse group, you have less of a tendency to essentially sort of act out. So I am really interested in hearing some higher level conversations in our community about this. I mean, we do have a symptom here, but what we don't have enough of are people of goodwill from diverse backgrounds talking collectively to be able to push our community forward. And not just that, but deal with sort of the core issue so that we don't have to keep revisiting this over and over and over again.
Yeah, we've had several incidents in the past year. The incident in Mason.
We had the incident in Mason. We had the incident in Kings.
Yeah, Mason was where the teacher told the student, the other students would lynch him for not doing his homework.
Correct.
Kings, it was the recreational team that wore racist jerseys.
And then about a year ago, three games.
Yeah. And about a year ago, we had the swastikas at Withrow.
Yes.
Jackie, if I remember
and
right.
And there was also racist graffiti that accompanied the swastikas.
Exactly.
That's the other point I want to make, is that so often, you know, you look at Charlottesville and other local incidences, like what you just referenced, Withrow, we see the same, you know, we realize as minority groups that we have to be in it for each other.
Right.
Because we see the same people targeting a number of us.
Correct.
And so it's incumbent upon us to respond with one voice,
right,
as a unified community against this. And that's really why we at the JCRC are engaged in making sure that we come out strongly against this kind of thing.
Right.
And that's the other piece about Charlottesville that I want to mention really quickly is I don't think we can disregard the imagery. And I mean, what have our kids been watching more and more so. And when you see this kind of language and this kind of behavior be mainstream and it's pervasive in our environment in terms of what we're consuming, that's an effect that we can't just disregard on the minds of our young people and what it teaches them about what's acceptable and what's not.
Yeah, Mike, I would come back to the idea, Mike, that at least my gut reaction is we are better than this, or maybe I should be asking, aren't we better than this? Maybe that's the appropriate question, because it just it seems like when you're asking that question or saying we are better than this, you're saying that you want to hold yourself to a higher standard.
Maybe. I think the proper way to say it, and I was an English teacher, so excuse me for being, I still am.
You can correct my grammar.
I think we want to be better than this. And I think we aspire to be better than this. But I was on another radio show where it was brought up, well, this kind of thing never happened in school. I said, really? Because these kids at Elder and all these other schools, grandparents went to segregated schools. Our country was built on a foundation of racism. The economy literally was built on a foundation of racism. This is not new. And while it is pervasive and everywhere, it's part of who we are. And we need to look in the mirror and say that. And the minority groups and the majority groups and everyone needs to be together and have the conversation, because it's strong, and these young people emulate what they see, what they hear at home, and what they know they won't get in trouble for. So again, I used to be an administrator, and I know how difficult it is. So I do want to commend, again, the administration at Elder for taking action, because it does not always happen. And while I do not speak for the Cincinnati Public School Board as one member, I would like to highlight that we just very recently have begun putting the final touches on a spectator code of conduct. It was called FAN, but we wanted to extend it to everybody. So chess club, spectators, et cetera. I think that's important. And the conversation is happening in a lot of schools in our district that we're really proud of. At Gamble, it's being led by students, which is interesting. But we need to not be afraid to admit where we've come from, where we're at. That's the only way we can change.
Yeah, and I would add onto that, Mike, when you talked about parents and grandparents going to segregated schools, I'm thinking about Brown versus Board of Education and mm-hmm. what that meant to America. In addition to having integrated schools and ending the separate but equal, it also was meant to have kids go to school with people who don't look like them. And because our neighborhoods are segregated, right? Mm-hmm. So when do you get a chance to interact with anyone on a social basis, but in school? And here we have it, you know, 60 odd years later, we're sort of still at a point where, I don't know how far we've come in that regard.
And that's the intentional piece. That's why we have to be intentional about this.
Correct.
Kurt, how have the students, how have they reacted to this whole incident?
I can tell you, our first day back to school was Tuesday, and I immediately met with the students that morning, two different assemblies. And I can tell you the rest of the day, it was very quiet, totally different. Someone who's familiar with Elder, doesn't work at Elder, came in the next day and said, what the heck happened yesterday, when they walked through the hallway? So they're taking it serious. And I met with them again yesterday and just went through a lot of, you know, what we stand for, what we're trying to teach them, what they're taught at home, et cetera. And, you know, I had several students send me emails. Some of them saw me in a hallway after the assembly yesterday and thanked me. I went to the BMV yesterday, and a lady I know that works there, she said, I bet you hate your job. And I said, absolutely not. I don't. Because I love the school, and I think it's a great school. And we teach them good values. So for me, it's an opportunity to be the leader and get out there and say, we need to change. That, yeah, we made a mistake. We hurt some people, and we're sorry for it, and we're going to get better because of it.
Yeah. We got an email from Larry. He was talking about how children learn what's acceptable behavior from their parents and adults who have authority over them. He says he's not as interested in what actions elders, principals taking with the students as he is in the actions that you're taking with the staff. He says when the other team had to request intervention by the refs to stop these chants that were taking place in front of Elder's administration, who didn't seem to be troubled enough to stop it, that shows an administrative problem. So he's wondering how you're dealing with this, with the staff and the administration of the school.
Right, and I don't want to get into those details, but I will tell you that I've had many discussions. It started Monday morning. Like I said, we were off school that Monday. I met with our AD and our assistant principal who were there, and we had a three-hour meeting to discuss what can we do better. We had a system in place, and again, if you go back to my comment before about the field house, it just is not set up like a football field is, where you have established cheerleaders leading the cheers. That will change. You'll see Friday night. So we have changes in place. We're going to try different things, and we're going to reevaluate how they work after every game.
Yeah, and are you changing the tiering section? Is there?
We are.
Okay.
Yes.
How so?
The students were informed yesterday that they will sit until there's a cheer started, and all cheers must be started by the cheerleaders. The very first row of the stands will now be open for the cheerleaders only. And again, like I said, we're trying these changes, and you know, I'm confident that they'll work. And I already have some students who are, you know, giving me that, I don't know, not the appreciation, but, you know, they're coming up and saying, thanks for doing this. So I'm confident it'll work.
In terms of resources for staff and for schools, the Holocaust and Humanity Center has a tremendous portfolio of resources and programming that they can offer folks in your position, and also, you know, educators across the city. In terms of learning from, you know, it's lessons from the Holocaust, but it's how do we take those lessons of empathy and compassion and apply them today? And how do we better appreciate and celebrate diversity? So there are all kinds of resources we can connect people with who find themselves needing right. them.
And I appreciate that, Jackie. And Mike, you're familiar with Roger Auer, who's our director of community service. Elder's been known for their service to the community, and we have a program at school. It's a class that our students take, mostly juniors and seniors, where they go out 4 days a week to the local grade schools in the Cincinnati public system, and they help the teachers. They become more or less like big buddies to these kids. So we're trying things to get our kids out there to experience, you know, the diversity and the different cultures, but we can expand on that. And that's, again, where, you know, I think with the people who I'm sitting here with, I'm looking out, I'm going to look for you to
absolutely.
Some help.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward
Certainly.
To it.
Yeah. We'll be there. That's good.
Kurt, Dan had a question. He called in. He says, is there a GCL policy? That's what, Greater Catholic League, GCL?
Yeah.
Greater Catholic League policy against jeering individual players. And he also asks, why wasn't this stopped sooner?
Okay. First of all, as far as the GCL policy, there is no such policy. And, you know, I've been in contact with our superintendent as well as the archbishop, and I told him, you know, one of the things that I'd like to do is become an agent for change and be that leader with at least the four GCL South schools. You know, those are the ones where we had the intense rivalries with St. X, Muller, and LaSalle. But, you know, maybe Elder can be the leader and say, this is what we can do, similar to the changes that we put in place for the cheering section. So can we come up with some policies? And one of the things I told our students yesterday was, we will not have any negative cheers. So, you know, I think over the years, we've kind of gotten away from that, and the cheers have become directed towards players, students in the student cheering section, and not focused on our team, which is why you have a cheering section. So we have to re-educate our students about that.
Now, as far as St. X, I take it the students have gone over and apologized for what happened?
Yes, we went this past Monday. Some of our students went out with some of our adults, and we had lunch with them, and it gave us the opportunity to personally apologize to them for what happened.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to have any more meetings with the St. X students?
Nothing's planned right now. Terry Terrell, who is their principal, he and I have a great relationship. I was out of town the day after it happened. I was out of town that weekend. So the day after it happened, he called me. And by the time I got the voicemail, it was later in the evening on Saturday. And, you know, as soon as I called him back, he said, Kurt, first of all, this can happen anywhere. So he gets it. And not to downplay anything that happened, we were wrong. But nothing has been planned as far as going back out to St. X. My objective with that launch was, let us get out there and apologize in person to the basketball team, the kids that we hurt.
Is this one of the tougher things you faced as an administrator?
Yes. And I've lost a lot of sleep, but you know, we get over that. Heck, you have people out fighting for the United States in the war, and they don't get any sleep, so that's not a problem. But, yeah, it's a difficult situation, but I look forward to the challenge.
Byron, what do you think is the lesson we take away from all this?
You know, I think this is a flashpoint for this community, and I think the lesson is if we can come together as a collective and see some of the solutions that Elder has put forth, and I commend you guys for that, but use this as a flashpoint so that we can start out the conversation, right, and go a little bit deeper, because this is Elder is one of the institutions in our community. If it can happen there, you know, it can happen in a lot of places. And I think we need to be able to talk this out and then take some actions. And I think we have that in place with some of the things that we've discussed here. So I think that's the lesson, that use it as a flashpoint and then jump off from that.
Mike, what do you think? What do we take away from this?
I think we can take away a few things. I think we can take away that Elder has lived up to their motto of Altiora. Do I say that right?
That's excellent, Mike.
How about that? And that Principal Ruffin is the leader at that school, and that they have handled it well. I also think we take away to everybody else's point, of course, is that we need to have these intentional conversations. In addition to that, there are tons of resources, whether it's the Holocaust Museum, whether it's policies I'd be willing to share, I'll offer that up.
The Freedom Center has tremendous resources.
There are conversations happening, and we need to come together and have them. And again, I do think we can be better than this. I think we want to be better than this, but right now I'm not certain that we are, and I think we need to start by admitting that so we can have these conversations.
Yeah, you know, I think I would just add that to echo what I had read about what one of the candidates for school board in King said, which is proximity creates empathy. And I just want to stress that. Really think about what that means. It means that when we know each other, it's harder for us to apply stereotypes. It's harder for us to apply prejudgment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we at the JCRC, we had our first, which we hope to be an annual interfaith basketball tournament last year. So you talk about basketball and some of the issues that can come from it. There's also, as you know, wonderful team-building things that can happen and relationships that can grow from that, where we bring Jewish, Muslim, and Christian kids together and we play basketball on interfaith teams. And it was really beautiful to see that come together this year. It's going to happen again next year. So I think the more we can get out of our silos and out of our comfort zones in this environment, it's very easy to retreat. Mm-hmm. And we have to be intentional about reaching out in compassion and with empathy.
Yeah, thanks to all of you for joining me today.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Elder High School Principal Kurt Ruffing, Cincinnati Enquirer columnist and editorial board member Byron McCulley, Cincinnati Public School Board member Mike Morosky, and Jewish Community Relations Council Director Jackie Conjedo. Thanks for listening to this podcast of Cincinnati Edition. The producer was Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer was Selena Reeder. Josh Elstro was the technical director. I'm Mark Haney.